You may be seated. Did I almost hear Brad say, why don't we worship now? I mean, welcome. Do I need that? It says, you finish on time. Okay. Don't worry about it. I'm loving this. I've got the kids on the floor. You know, the kids love to come and sit on the floor. I've got three of them right here. It's amazing. Thanks for that. That's a great encouragement. All right, so, yeah, as Pastor Brad said, we're starting a new series all about discipleship. You excited about that? Yes. It's a word we all know. You know, if you've been around a church for more than 5 minutes, you understand. Or you've heard that word, but maybe we haven't really grasped the full content of it. So this series over the next few weeks will unpack it, and today's just an opener, really. So bear with me as I attempt to open the subject, because it's a big subject. It is a very important subject, and it's a subject that we all need. Me especially, okay? Whether you've been born again for 5 minutes or 50 years or more, it doesn't matter. We all need this, what we're going to get over the next few weeks. Is that all right? So hopefully I don't upset anybody. I'll try not to. But if I do, Pastor Kim's on next week. And she'll give you a little kiss and put a Band-Aid on your heart and tell you to get on with it, right? Okay, so that's just a precursor for what's coming. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity today to hear from your word, because it's your word that changes us. We acknowledge that right from the get-go. It is your word that changes us, Father, presuming we act on it. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. Holy Spirit, you are always more than welcome to minister to us and through us, and especially myself this morning, because I've got the responsibility with the microphone. So anoint my words, Father, and bring out what you want brought out, Father. And above all, Lord, allow it to change us for the better. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You're good? So discipleship. If you can turn with me in your paper Bible. Remember, we're learning about discipleship this morning, so I will be putting some things out there that may and hopefully challenge you. It certainly challenged me as I was studying this out. So John 8:31, we're going to start with the words of Jesus. Who loves the Word of God? Who loves the New Testament? Who loves Jesus's words? All right, that's great. It's a good start. All right, so in John 8:31, it says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, man, we could just camp on that for an hour. And then go and have lunch and come back and go to the next verse. If you're anything like me, I somehow always seem to pay more attention to the words in red. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, see, first of all, we need to believe him. Yeah? If pull out a few words this morning. If, that means you can or you won't, you know, you will or you won't. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. This word abide, just so we all understand, we're all on the same page, means quite a few things, but what I've got here, it means to accept without question. To remain stable or fixed and steadfast. That's what abide means. So that's where we want to head with this subject of being a disciple. We don't want to have question as to whether God's word is true or real. Amen. We want to start well. And believing his word is the best place to do it. But we need to stay in this place because Jesus said himself, if you remain in my word, if you remain in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And the truth shall make you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This word know, it means, when you look at it and study it out, it's that knowing that a husband and wife has, they know each other. It's a very intimate relationship. And that's the know that Jesus is talking about here. If you have an intimate relationship with me and abide there, you are my disciples indeed. I'm not going to ask for any show of hands today, but I want this word to challenge us all. Amen? As to where we fit in that picture. You know, it doesn't matter, again, whether you've been born again for 5 minutes or 50 years. We have all left the station in the sense that we are all on the same journey. Yeah? So if you're a brand new Christian, this word's for you. If you're a veteran Christian, this word's for you. We are just all on different stages of that journey. You know, we just want to make sure we don't pull our train over to the layover and stay there. You understand what I just said? Okay. We don't want to do that. We just want to keep forging forward. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And we'll go from verse 19. Again, Jesus said. Now, we all understand, well, you know, I shouldn't say we all because maybe we all don't understand, but this is right at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, okay? These are basically the last words that he said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be always with you, even to the end of the age. So here's some clear instruction for the disciples of the day. I'm just going to grab a drink of water. It's amazing how dry you get up here when you start talking. This is a little bit of a side note, but it's interesting here that the last thing that Jesus said to the disciples is, go therefore and make disciples. And I'm unpacking this discipleship. But he didn't say, go and make converts. Isn't that interesting? As a church, the church, a lot of emphasis has been put on converting people. And that's good because we need to introduce people to Jesus. We get that. Okay, that's absolutely crucial. But Jesus didn't even tell them to do that. Because it's almost like, hey, it's a no-brainer. I don't have to talk about going and getting converts. That's a no-brainer. But what I want you to do is make disciples. Go to the four corners of the earth and make disciples. That's your job. Yes, of course you're going to get people saved. Duh. You need to be saved before you can be a disciple of Jesus. But these words he spoke right at the end of his ministry, man, that must be important, don't you think? Before I go on, you go and make disciples of every creature, is what one version of the Bible says. Being a disciple and making disciples is extremely high priority to God. Amen? So where it says in 20, teaching them, I just want to talk about this word teaching for a second because it's important. Again, when you study it out, this word teaching, and I won't bore you with all the Greek and all the yada yada, but it means to make a pupil of. Okay, so according to the word, and if we're a disciple, we are a pupil. All right, now, just for emphasis, we make a big deal. If you're a parent, we make a big deal of educating our children, don't we? And sometimes we spend many, many thousands of dollars educating our children, sending them to school and whatnot. We feel, as parents, I hope you feel this way, we feel it's pretty important that our kids get educated. Is that right? So when the kids go to school, they are actually disciples of the school system. Okay, I want you to understand that. We all here have been disciples before. Ever being a disciple of Jesus. Why? Because we're being taught. To make disciples, we are teaching and we are being taught. And that's why we send our kids to school. How would it be if we didn't send our kids to school and we just maybe brought home some books and said, here you go, just read that if you feel like it, and left them to it? Well, they wouldn't develop into a successful citizen, let me just put it that way, without education. We put a big deal and a big emphasis on education. How much more should we be making a big deal of our discipleship with Jesus? Okay, so I remember being at school myself. Yes, I can remember that far back because I remember how much I did not like it. I was not a good disciple at school. I was a terrible disciple at school. I wasn't interested in what I was hearing. All I was interested in was the things I shouldn't have been interested in. And I was good at those things. But as far as education goes, yeah, I don't need this. I don't need to learn about this. I was a bad disciple at school. So kids, please don't take my path on that, all right? Because I now know a lot better and I have a very high degree of respect for teachers and the system. Nothing's perfect, but I mean, I'm a granddad now, so I'll put my kids through school. I understand these things. But I was a bad student, okay? My father said, if you're not going to work at school, leave and get a job. That was music to my ears, you know, because I knew what I wanted to do, you know, for a living, and that was to be learn a trade. So I left school. I wasn't even 15, and I got an apprenticeship as a butcher. Okay, so if you're out there and you have been trained at all in a trade, or it doesn't matter what you do for a living, just get the point of what I'm trying to make. You can relate to this, hopefully. So when I got my job, I was thrilled, you know, to be able to go to work and earn money. The difference between going to work for me and going to school, which I did not like and I wasn't good at, when I went to work, I wanted to be there and I wanted to learn. I was a very good disciple when I went to work. And the end result of that is I learnt a trade. I learnt a skill. You with me? Just trying to make a point. How much more should I train to be a good disciple? See, being a disciple is like being an apprentice that never ends. I'm not sure what's going to happen when we get to heaven. Never been there. But if you're born again, your apprenticeship has started. And you will always be an apprentice. It doesn't finish after 4 years. You'll always be an apprentice. You right? So enjoy the journey. Because what we want to do is get better at what we're doing. As the years rolled by, as I was an apprentice, I got better and better at what I was doing to a point where I was equal to my disciples. Yeah, this is a natural example I'm trying to give you. How would it be if a soldier in the military joined the army and only trained for 1 hour a week? What kind of a soldier would come out of that? But you know what? You understand what I just said? See, we want our military to be highly skilled, is that right? And if they're good enough and keen enough, they'll advance from the regular army and go into special service. Highly trained. Highly, highly trained. They're the sort of soldiers I want on my side. How would it be if all they ever did was 1 hour's training a week? Now, I said 1 hour's training a week deliberately because for many people in the church, you ready? For many people in the church, coming to church on Sunday morning like you have this morning, our service starts at 9:30 and basically finishes at 11. You get 40 minutes of praise and worship, 5 minutes of announcements and maybe a 30, 40-minute preach. Okay, how would it be if that's all we did? Remember, we are disciples of Jesus. To know what that means and to grasp the enormity of being a disciple of Jesus, we need more than an hour a week. I don't know about you, but I want to go from being a regular soldier to a special service soldier in the kingdom. And I'm not going to do that by turning up here once a week. Are we all right? You might need a box of Band-Aids next week, Pastor Kim. A disciple of Jesus brings a Bible to church. Maybe two boxes of... Hopefully a paper one. I'm rabbit trailing, but I just want to get this point across. This thing that I've got in my hand called an iPhone is the biggest enemy, I think. Even though I've got one and I use it, it can be. It's a fantastic tool, but it can be the biggest enemy to the Christian. Unless we're extremely disciplined. The word discipline comes from disciple, yeah? Unless we're extremely disciplined with this thing. Oh boy, I'm trying to keep myself together. Unless we're extremely disciplined. If I told you what the average screen time is, people, average screen time, meaning how much you look at your phone, I will tell you, it's about 5 or 6 hours a day. Hopefully, it's 5 or 6 hours a day well spent, but unfortunately, that's not the case. I'll leave that with you. But a good disciple is disciplined with their walk with the Lord and with their approach to being a disciple of Jesus. Amen? All right. Discipling is the path to freedom. I'm just talking to the Lord. Discipling is the path to freedom. Knowledge is the path to freedom. The quest of knowledge, the journey of knowledge, is the path to freedom. See, Jesus came that we would be free in all things. Is that right? If we have anything going on in our lives, if we have some sort of issue or problem and there's a whole host of stuff that could be happening that just doesn't seem to let up, I'm going to be bold here in what I'm saying, that won't let up. what we have is a knowledge problem, a knowledge of the word. Because who knows, Jesus came and provided everything we need. But if we don't know that, I mean really know that, then the enemy will play havoc with us. We are on a quest for knowledge. Knowledge is power, but the lack of knowledge is really bad. In Hosea 4:6, the Bible says, my people are, who knows that scripture? Destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, the knowledge is there. Okay, this is our textbook for life. And if the only time we look at it, hopefully, you look at it, for an hour on Sunday morning, well, we're going to fall far short because we just cannot be educated in that space of time. Amen? The knowledge of God brings peace. Turn to 2 Peter for me. 2 Peter. Hang on. Can you put it up on the screen? I don't want to spend too much time. A little bit of paper fell out. 2 Peter 1, 2 to 4. New King James Version. Maybe. Okay. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these things you may be partakers. Now, can I have verse 1? 1 to 4. This is why you shouldn't trust electronics. Two. Thank you. Two. Okay, grace, that's where I wanted to go. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what of God? In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Three. As his divine power has given to us some things. As his divine power has given to us a few things. As his divine power is giving to us, if we're really good, we might get something. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Come on, church. Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. How do we get knowledge? Anybody? Read the word. Oh, you sound really excited about that. Romans 12:1 and 2. We'll start with one. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Interesting to put that word in. It's just reasonable. Reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? See, God has already done everything he's going to do. All right? Did you know that? See, we can go through our Christian walk. Oh, God, I need you to do this. Oh, God, I need you to heal my body. Oh, God, I need you to give me money. The lawnmower's broken. Oh, God, this. Oh, God, that. God has done all he's going to do. Because he gave us Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That means now it's up to us. But if we haven't got a knowledge of the word, we are not going to know how to apply God's apply his word, but gain the benefits that come with being a Christian, just using plain English. If we don't know the word, Pastor Kim and I, you're all egging me on. You want me to stir the pot, don't you? That's what you want to do. I know exactly what you're doing. Listen, we are meant to pray for one another. Did you know that? And if someone has a prayer need, they need to ask for prayer. That's good. That is absolutely great. If you have prayer needs, ask someone to pray for you. Just don't ring me. No, I'm kidding. But the thing is this, we get many phone calls. We get many requests for prayer. And that's fine. Please understand my heart on this. That's fine. But how much better would it be if we all were on fire, disciples of Jesus, with a knowledge of his word, where when the enemy attacks, we know what to do. But sadly, that's not the case. But hopefully, you're getting stirred up to get to that place. Hey, if I've got a prayer request, I ask for prayer. Pastor Kim prays for me daily. I need it. And most of the time, I don't even know it. She prayed me into the kingdom. That's pretty powerful. Never, ever did she badger me. When she was saved, she was going to church. Never, ever did she badger me about, you need to come to church. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. Because the stop doing this and the stop doing that was quite fruitful in my life. But she prayed for me. So prayer's great. Don't ever stop praying for people. But I'm just making a point. We need to be mature Christians. We need to go from drinking milk to eating meat. When we're eating the meat of the word, meat's good for you guys. Sorry to any vegetarians in the house. That just came from nowhere. Stop it. No. There's nothing wrong with being a vegetarian. I know that. I just like meat. How could I not? I'm a butcher by trade. Come on. You all right? God's done everything he's going to do. It says in Ephesians 1:3, he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's already done it. He did it on the cross. And when we receive Jesus as Lord, those blessings are automatically ours. But for most of the body of Christ, they don't know it. You remember you might not have heard the story of... And it just came to me as I said that. The person on a cruise ship liner going from England to America had bought a ticket to get there but didn't understand that ticket for the journey. Well, she thought, it was a woman, she thought that it just got her on the boat. She never availed herself to all of the benefits of being on the cruise. If I get the story right, she was sleeping in one of the lifeboats. Every night she'd go past the dining room and look in and didn't think she could go in there until the captain saw her one day and said, "Ma'am, I've seen you outside the window night after night. Why don't you come in and eat?" And she said, "Well, I've only got a ticket for the journey." You've got a ticket to dine in this dining room. She just didn't know it. Anyway, I like that story, and it says a lot, because Ephesians says you have already been blessed with all the spiritual blessings that Jesus provided. Amen? Okay. What do we do if we know that? Let's see, I guess I'm teaching you some stuff, but it wasn't the goal. My goal was for you to teach yourself or be taught the Word of God. And I guess I'm doing that in a sense, if it encourages you to see if after today, if you are drawn closer to God or pushed closer to Jesus after this word, then I've done my job. That's all I'm trying to do, is just give you a little nudge. Just like the parents nudge their children, you know. It's amazing what our kids listen to. Is that right? I found now I've got 13 grandkids that I'm going through the same process with. I'm not their parent, I'm their grandfather, but so I have a lot of liberty. And I can teach them some really cool things. But, you know, you're teaching some stuff. I mean, they don't always seem to be paying attention. So hopefully you're paying attention, even though your faces might look blank. But something will stick. I want this word to stick. Yeah? Okay, so because Jesus has done it all, we're meant to find out what that all is so we can operate in the kingdom effectively. So it says in Mark 11:23, Jesus again, Jesus' words, Mark 11:23, speak to the mountain. And basically tell it to get out of your life. Just me using my language. He said, speak to the mountain. He didn't say, speak to me about the mountain. He said, you speak to the mountain. I have given you all authority. Did you know that? You have all authority. You have the same authority that Jesus had. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I think about that. I said, really? I've got this. Well, that's what the word says, so I believe it. So I apply that. And if I've got a mountain in my life, I speak to the mountain. I don't talk to the mountain, or like I don't talk about the mountain, and I don't tell Jesus about the mountain. Jesus already knows, God already knows about the mountain. Yeah? He already knows. He knows everything. Come on, you're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. You need to talk to the mountain yourself. Amen. And it doesn't matter what the mountain is. Amen? See, these are the things we do when we're good disciples of Jesus. If we're a poor disciple of Jesus, here we go, third box of Band-Aids. If we're a poor disciple of Jesus, we're on the phone every 5 minutes. Oh, I've got this happening in my life. I just need you and the rest of the church to pray for me. Okay, we will. Cool. But how much better would it be if we go, oh, hang on, I'll deal with that. I'll tell that mountain to get lost, and I'll tell your mountain to get lost too. Amen? Come on. I hope I haven't walked out of the spotlight too much, walking around. Okay, so Jesus has done it all. If you've got a financial issue going on in your life, you call that a mountain. If you haven't, fantastic. But if you have, we'll call it a mountain. So you speak to the mountain. But you know what? God made a promise in Deuteronomy 8:18. I wonder how many people have read that scripture. In Deuteronomy 8:18, right back there in the Old Testament, it says that God has given you power to get wealth. Ooh. That kind of puts a responsibility on us, doesn't it? Why? Because he gave us the power to get wealth. Ooh, come on. Well, like all things in the Word, if we're not going to apply that, see, he gave us power in our hands to get wealth. So does that mean we just sit back in the lounge, put our feet up and watch the days of our lives and expect to get wealthy? No. It means you've got the power to go and get that wealth. In a whole host of ways, you have the power to get wealth. But if you do nothing about it, well, nothing times 100 equals nothing. That's what you'll get in return. Say, I have the power to get wealth. It's good to be wealthy. I've tried poor. I don't like it. I was working when I was 12 years old because I wanted money. I was going to school, kind of. But I had all the odd jobs in town, you know. I used to sell newspapers in Monavale Pub and walk around the bars. And the tips were fantastic, especially when the guys were drunk. Wash cars, cut chips at the local fish and chip shop. I'd do anything for money. Mum loved it because she didn't have to fork out her money, because I was buying all my own clothes from 12 to 15 until I got a full-time job. I loved earning money. I didn't want to be poor. I felt like I was rich. The rest of the kids in my class, they had to rely on their parents. I did not have to rely on my parents. And I'm one of seven children, so my parents appreciated that, I'm telling you. There's a bit of a side note there. But God gave me power to get wealth, and I never even knew it. Amen? You good? All right. I've got a scripture. You might need a whole first aid kit for this one, Pastor Kim. I want to read a scripture. Let me see if I can. Okay. Again, New Testament, and this is Jesus speaking. Okay, so, you know, I'm just reading scripture, guys. Is that all right? I'm just reading the Bible. And this is New Testament. This is Jesus. So this is Jesus in the middle of his ministry there, and he was getting hassled. You know, they wanted to stone Jesus. When I saw the lemons at the front door this morning that Liz brought in, I thought, I hope they're not for me. You know, Pastor Kim's got two there, you know. At least they're not rotten tomatoes. But anyway, they wanted to stone Jesus for what he had to say. You know, the religious Pharisees and whatnot at the time didn't like Jesus. Oh, I mean, obviously they had him crucified, didn't they? So I don't mind reading Jesus' words. Here we go. All right, you ready? Just grab a seat next to you. Okay. Because I'm finishing with this, all right? I hope you've been stirred up this morning. I'm finishing with this. Jesus' ministry. I'm not going to tell you. Ask the Holy Ghost. Luke 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 14, and we're going to go from verse 25, and it says this. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's full on. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's full on. 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Okay, who's ever read that scripture before? Yeah. So there's a few that haven't, maybe, I don't know. Now that sounds pretty harsh, but what you've got to do is you've got to read it in context with the before and after verses, you see. And it certainly sounds contradictory. And it's certainly like to the Pharisees, he's like, are you kidding me? I've got to hate, you know, my family and love you more. That's foreign to the natural thinking. But as I said, if you read the before and after verses, you'll get a better picture. But I'm going to explain it to you. He was simply drawing a parallel. He was simply giving a guide to how much we need to love God. Because the word God says we need to love one another. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He's not saying you need to hate your family. He's simply saying you need to put me first. The gap between your love for me and the love for your family needs to be very wide. You know, guys, okay, husbands, your wife did not save you from your sin. Wives, your husband did not save you from your sin. Yeah? God saved you from your sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we are meant to put him so far above. It's not like God here, wife here. Oh, you know, I love my wife. We all know that. She knows that. We tell each other constantly. But I through reading the word and understanding God's heart, I know God has to be so far ahead of my wife. That's all Jesus is saying here. Because it is a big deal. If we narrow that gap, God can often and often does take second place. God's a jealous God. No. We love no other God but him. Yeah? I mean, my love for my wife and my kids and my grandkids. But my love for God is a different level, guys. So if it's a different level, we need to act like it. How are we living? Are we putting God first? Are we putting God way first? And if we are, then we think like God. We think like Jesus. We abide by his words. And I will be his, well, it makes me his disciple indeed. Amen. And I'll know the truth. And the truth will set me free. Amen. But God needs to be here. And if God's here, we need to act like he's here. We need to be good students of the word. We need to be good disciples of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your word today, and hope, I believe it's been an encouragement to us all, every single one of us. I'm just going to put a call out. If this has spoken to you this morning and challenged you to rise to new heights and new levels in God, I want you to stand to your feet. If you feel that way and you acknowledge, you see, we need to be bold and we need to acknowledge to ourselves. Don't be embarrassed. I mean, just because there's other people in the room, hey, I'm standing here. I need it big time. So if you want to go on with God in a way that you've never gone on with God before, I'm going to pray for you. But you know, it'll take more than my prayer. It'll take a lot more than my prayer. It'll take a decision by yourself to honour God and keep him in the place he's meant to be. Number one. Father, I just thank you again for your word. I thank you for these precious people that are standing before me and behind me. I ask you to honour their hearts. Help them. Holy Spirit, we can't do any of this without you. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to keep touching our hearts. Keep nudging us. You are a gentleman. You're not harsh. You're a gentleman. So we invite you in to keep nudging our hearts. Keep reminding us of the word from this morning and that encouragement that we've received today from hearing from your word, Lord. your word. I ask you to bless each and every one of these people in this room and anyone watching online, of course, and anyone watching the recording of this message. Touch us all the same, Father. Father, we want to keep that salvation train going in the right direction. We do. If we've pulled over to the wayside where we're just sitting and not moving, well, thank you that we're back on the tracks. And we're just thundering along. We're thundering along in you, Father, because we know the more we know your word, the more we will be set free. So, Father, I just ask you to bless us all today, Father. And Lord, I don't know everybody here today. I know I've met some new people, and that's awesome. Welcome to the church. I hope you come back. but I don't know if, you know, this is the thing. I don't know who's saved. I personally don't know who's saved in this room. You might think that's a strange thing to say. I know how I feel, but I don't know how you feel. Only God knows. So if you've ever... So I want to speak to the young people here for a minute, which is many. We've been blessed in this church with so many young people, but I'm specifically talking to the kids, the young people. If you've been born... If you were raised in a Christian home, please listen to what I'm saying. If you were raised in a Christian home with Christian mum and dad, obviously, does not make you a Christian. You need to make a decision for yourself. Because the word says in Romans 10:9-10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. You know, that's what many religions do. I mean, I'm not picking on anybody, but even the Catholics. I've spoken to many Catholics and I say, are you a Christian? They say, yeah. I say, well, what makes you a Christian? And they say, oh, well, I was born in church. Mum and dad are Catholics. I'm a Catholic. And I've said, well, sorry. The Bible says that you have to make a decision for yourself. So, kids, what I'm saying is don't think you're going to go to heaven riding on the coattails of your parents. I can't make that any more clear. You've got to make a decision for yourself. And so if there's anybody in the room who's never made that decision, not just the kids, anybody who's not made that decision and to follow Jesus, I don't need a show of hands because I'm going to lead the whole room through this prayer. But the word says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. And before I pray the prayer, know this. It's just where the journey begins. There's too many converts who have never gone on with being a disciple of Jesus. When someone becomes born again, they need to become a disciple of Jesus. And that happens by learning. Yeah. Father, thank you, Father, for your word. So if you're willing, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today and confess publicly that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus bore my sins and he died on the cross and rose again and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I commit to you today that I will place you above everything in my life. And I will follow you and honour you and rely on you through the power of Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in my walk with you for the rest of my days on earth. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen, amen. Thanks for listening, guys. Are we going to have a worship song?